Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. 1 Peter 4:10. God, we continue to see and hear how you would have us to be this day. May the hearing of the word continue to inspire us to be the people you would have us to be. Amen. So earlier, I was able to look at two retired clergy. I think I can still do that now, yeah. And have them unite with me in remembering that sometimes as clergy persons, when we're talking about where we serve and what we do, we have to be careful that we don't say, my church, right? When I'm with a group of friends and we're discussing things that are happening, well, at my church we do this and at my church we do that. And it's it can be humorous when you try to correct it, not to say my church. It can be cumbersome. I have slipped before and definitely said that. But of course it's not my church. It's Christ's church. He is the chief shepherd. I am one of the stewards, as are all of us, assigned to care for this congregation. My specific role as an ordained person is to order the life of the church. And when we think about stewardship and its definition of care and responsible management of something or someone entrusted to our care, Pastor James Each and I share language about how parenting can be stewardship and how easy it is to call children our children. Whether you are a birth parent, a foster parent, a guardian, a teacher, a mentor of children, today all of us can remember that our children are not just our children. They are God's children. We have been given assignments for stewardship to oversee and care for these children. And we think of children in the life of the church and how many of us get to interact with them and teach them about faith. For some of this is comforting language. For others, the weight of the responsibility to walk with God's children their whole life can, you know, feel like a lot. Now, I'm only going to speak for myself on this, but I have always appreciated the fact that I was a foster adoptive parent before I was a birth parent. A little background for some of you that may not know the Hayden history. Dave and I have been married 18 years next month, and I remember wanting to be a mom, well, as long as I can remember. I felt a call to adoption before I was married. I can see the scene of where it happened, and it's a long story, but knowing that that is what I wanted to do. And then when I was 35, I met Dave, and we found that adoption was something that we both had felt called to. But not only that, Dave was already a licensed foster care person before we met. And I am pretty sure that I can say I would not have ever entered into fostering if I hadn't been connected to Dave first. I don't have time to tell you the stories of our fostering before our family was formed the way that it is now, but I'm certain that fostering strengthened my faith and shaped me in ways that I would have never imagined. It has caused me to remember a call of being on loan as a steward and caregiver to children in ways that I would not have experienced otherwise. It helped me to better know our children don't ultimately belong to us, but they ultimately belong to God. It's important to remember this when we see children, and sometimes whether it's my or just, you know, oh gosh, I am sorry that one is their child. No, it is our children. As we say those baptismal vows today, I mean, those are big words that I know I have to wake up and remember that, you know, I'm called to those every day to help those around us. And if God is the ultimate maker of humans, then our children belong to God. As parents, teachers, mentors, guardians, we remember we don't get to raise the children as we want. We want to teach them God's ways. So as Christians, we understand the responsibility of parenting as stewardship. Children are on loan to us to teach and care for. You might remember from Hebrew scriptures, our Hebrew roots in Deuteronomy 6, and then words that Jesus later spoke. Deuteronomy 6, we are to impress upon our children the ways of the Lord when we're at home, when we rise up, when we lay down, whether we're on a walk, when we get up in the morning. It's an all-inclusive priority. We are to show our children the true heavenly parent. The responsibility can be weighty. It is also a joy. Children are a gift, and we think of the weight of that responsibility as a privilege. One way that I try to keep this in mind is to frequently not just say with my words, but say with my words and actively tell my children that Jesus loves them. I would encourage you to do the same to your children, no matter what their age. I know we love our kids and we tell it to them often, but as stewards of God's children, it is more important that they know that God loves them. In a world where there's a lot of hate and unkind words, the promise and reminder that there is one who loves them greater than can do more than we can ever imagine. As we consider God's gifts, we consider how God is the greatest giver of all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Those who believe in him will have life. And from James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And Matthew 7:11, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Open up the New Testament to the first four books, the Gospels. There you will find story after story where either Jesus is interacting with someone or he is telling a story to teach a parable about giving and how we are to give likewise. Think of the story of the compassion of the Good Samaritan, or the sacrifice of the widow who gave her coin, the sacrifice of the little boy and his loaves and fishes, the transformation of Zacchaeus as one who took and then gave multiple times back to those around him because of his relationship with God and his want to give as he was given. So we remember our unique gifts today, so played out already in what has happened in worship. You might imagine some things like I could do, or in my case, like never do with some of the instruments. And we remember that we are able to share and learn in generosity. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Hopefully, all of us grow in our generosity over time. Our two children baptized today might seem young and unaware of all that is to be in this world, but it was a joy for them to think about being baptized into this family and for one of them to be advertised as he gets to share who he is in the world. And I can be very critical of anyone who says someone is too young to understand, because I wonder in their youth if they don't better know of God's love and can share that with others. Which reminds me of the viral cookie challenge. Anyone seen a reel of a cookie challenge with toddlers? There's usually a toddler sitting in the center with a parent or another adult beside them, with a cookie placed under a napkin, except one of the napkins doesn't have a cookie underneath it. And then there's the big reveal so that everyone can get their cookie. Well, it's a test, really, on the toddler about how they are going to respond when they have a cookie and sometimes multiple cookies and the adult sitting next to them has none. Usually it's the mom in the video that doesn't have one. And then she says, oh no, I don't have a cookie. And you wait to watch what the toddler does. So it is a lighthearted, non-scientific way to see the reactions. Now, sometimes they are so generous. They cry that their mother wasn't given a cookie. Or sometimes they hoard and try to explain, well, you already had dinner. You don't need this. They show unique social behaviors. And experts know, again, this is not a scientific study, but that we have developmental milestones that should not be used to judge a child's long-term character. And so we think about our development skills. We had a youth between services say, I want to do more than I've done here. I've done that before. I can increase my giving. I mean, just like as a matter of being a part of the first service to the second service. So I think about how we do that in all of our lives and where do we look at how we give. Our scripture today comes from the Old Testament. It comes from a prophet who is about 400 years ahead of John the Baptist's prophecy that the Messiah had come. Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. It's often considered to be written at a time when the Hebrew people were returning from captivity. They'd been in captivity for a long time. Their shoulders were down, right? You know, there wasn't much anticipation about going back. It speaks of a time, though, of recommitment and re-understanding who God is in their lives. And having been through this disillusionment, the prophet calls on them to trust God, to trust God's timing, and to trust God's provision. For Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, I am God, yes I am. I haven't changed, and because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. You have a long history of ignoring my commands, and you haven't done a thing I told you. Return to me so I can return to you, says God of the angel armies. You ask, but how do we return? By being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your faithful tithe to the temple treasury so that there will be ample provisions in my temple. For the gift of Scripture, thanks be to God. Now, if we just read that out in the world, that would sound like some emotionally charged language. Like a God who doesn't care about God's people. But this book of Malachi is structured as a series of disputes of back and forth between God and God's people, kind of like we've put God on trial. And Malachi uses this style to engage the audience to remember who they are as a part of this covenant. And here, we hear an invitation, even though we might have been dishonest to God, an invitation to return and give, to restore our relationship with God. And when we give, we remember that we are worshiping, we are celebrating the God in whom we live and share with. It causes us to then reconsider what I have been called to steward in my life. What is really mine? Or what has God entrusted me to care for? Beyond what is my money, my time, my leadership gifts, my whatever it might be that you think of God has given you. As faithful people who return week after week to learn and grow in discipleship, how do we add to our ways of giving? What does it look like to really trust God with our resources? How can we say, I am partnered with God in the giving? Giving connects us to God and God's work, and it brings joy when we participate. Let us pray that our hearts are willing to give freely. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to be good stewards of the good gifts God has given us. This time and in this place, so that as baptized, advertised people, we can show the world who God is and what God is up to.